Take our Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 10 this morning. Romans chapter 10. We're going to read the last six verses of this particular chapter, verses 16 through 21, as we conclude chapter 10 in our studies in the book of Romans. I want to begin reading at verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asketh not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. The title of our message today is, It's Your Responsibility to Hear. It's your responsibility to hear. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you bless the preaching of your word today. Lord, we live in days in which the devil is doing everything that he can to block the hearing of people in regard to your precious word. He seeks to destroy thy word by mocking it, by declaring it to be old-fashioned, something that's not applicable for today. And Lord, we live in a society today that is being so bombarded with culture that they have no place for the word of God. We ask, dear Lord, that that would not be the case here at Grace Bible Church. We pray that your word would go forth clearly and that these people that are gathered here today, precious souls that are going to spend eternity somewhere, might hear thy word and might act upon thy word. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This past Sunday, an interesting thing took place on the national television airwaves when Robert Schuller of the Crystal Cathedral announced to the nation that he had removed his son as being the pastor of the church. In 2006, with much pomp and fanfare, they had the installation of Robert A. Schuller as the new pastor. And since that time, there have been some things that have happened in the church that have raised the dander of the older Schuller. And in his statement, he said, I was called to start a mission, not a church. There is a difference, you know. You don't try to preach to people these days about what is sin and what is not sin. A mission is a place where you ask non-believers to come and find faith and hope and feel love. We're a mission first, a church second. What had happened during these past 2 years is that Robert A. Schuller started reading Bible verses, which was not the practice of the older Schuller. As a matter of fact, his sermons had been saturated with Scripture. Now, we would not call him a fundamentalist, and I don't know, probably he leans more to the liberal wing of New Evangelicalism. But one thing about it is that there was a difference in the content of the messages. There were Bible verses being read. He was critiqued over a year ago by his father secretly that he was taking the church in a direction that he didn't think was right. Too much Scripture, too much Thus Saith the Lord. Let me read to you a statement that he wrote in 1982 in a book entitled Self-Esteem, the New Reformation. Robert H. Schuller, the older, wrote, Today the sincere Christian believer is a minority, so the church must be willing to die as a church and be born again as a mission. We cannot speak out with a Thus Saith the Lord strategy when we are talking to people who couldn't care less about the Lord. We cannot start with What does the text say if we're talking to persons who aren't about to affirm respect for or unquestioning obeisance to the text. That's what he wrote in 1982. That was the purpose of his founding the Crystal Cathedral. It was not going to be a Bible centered church. It was going to be a man-centered mission. As a matter of fact, over the doorway of the church, to the glory of man, unto the glory of God. That was put over the doorway of the Crystal Cathedral. A lot of angst is taking place. The website has been busy this week with people in the church that said, "We love the new Schuller. Why did you remove him?" So that church's mission is in great turmoil right now. But I found it very interesting where his statement on the airwaves last week, we're not about talking about what sin is and what sin is not. Now, folks, that's what the Bible does. The Bible clearly teaches. You go to the New Testament and Paul, in almost every one of his epistles, lays out this list of what are considered to be lawlessness and iniquity and sin. He goes into great detail so that we might understand what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. It's missing the glory of God. Israel, as we are told in this passage of Scripture, took exception to "Thus saith the Lord." They had a real problem with "Thus saith the Lord." Very much like our society today. You say "Thus saith the Lord" about child rearing and people immediately turn you off. They're not interested in that. Give us psychology. Do not give us the Bible. That's the cry. You speak to them about the habits. Today, it seems that the church has shifted away from the testimony of salvation bringing transformation to the heart. Now it's reformation bringing transformation to the heart. There's a big difference. Self-reformation may clean you up on the outside, but it will do very little for you on the inside. There are a lot of people that can quit smoking, but that doesn't mean they're on their way to heaven. There are a lot of people that can quit drinking. I heard a commercial yesterday of an SEC coach, a well-known coach in the SEC, and he has a commercial now that he is doing about it. He says, "I don't dip, I don't chew, and I don't smoke, and you shouldn't either." Very noble thing to say. But he's not talking about salvation in Jesus Christ, is he? He's talking about when will a man is engaged, you can overcome bad habits. But that doesn't change your inward being. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can change the inward being. You can dress up the outside. You can quit all your bad habits. You can become a moral person and still die and go to a devil's hell. Israel had all the trappings of religion. Israel was still worshiping in the tabernacle, still worshiping in the temple. And yet God said, "I have spoken to you with my word, and yet you have not heard it. You have not listened to my word." Today I want to talk to you about it's your responsibility to hear. It's your responsibility to hear. Now very quickly, I want to point out some things and then get to the meat and the heart of the message. In verses 16, 18, and 19, we have the conjunction "but" used here. Now I notice that you see it appear in verse 20 and verse 21, yet in the original language, that does not appear there. The word that's used for "but" in verses 19, 18, and 16 does not appear in verse 20 or verse 21. As a matter of fact, there is no conjunction there in the original text. So I'm not quite sure why our King James translators put it there. It doesn't affect the translation at all. It just takes us to the next word if we understand the absence there of the conjunction. Now this is an interesting thing. This particular conjunction that's used in the Greek language here, that's translated "but" here, is called an adversative conjunction. Adversative. We get our word adversary from that. It means to show opposition. To show opposition to. We could say it this way: don't give in to their excuses. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying with the use of this conjunction of contrast here. But they have not obeyed the gospel. Who is they, first of all? They is referring to Israel. That's what this chapter has been about. The people of Israel. They have not obeyed all of the gospel. They've not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" Now, get the understanding where Paul is going here. Paul is saying here, there are some who reason this. If the gospel is of God, and God is all-powerful and omniscient and omnipresent, His gospel should therefore be 100% successful. Now, do you get the thinking here? God is divine. He's perfect. He is the creator of all things. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Now, He provides this gospel message. Therefore, if He's all-powerful, His gospel should be 100% successful. But Paul, not all have obeyed the gospel. Therefore, the conclusion of the Judaizers, the conclusion of the religionists is, this gospel that you preach is not the gospel of God, because it's not 100% successful. Paul answers that argument with a statement from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1. Can you state it with me? Who hath believed our report? Now that's what God said of His people in Isaiah chapter 53. He said, who hath believed our report? What is Isaiah chapter 53 all about? It's about the coming of the Savior the first time. The shedding of His blood, the bruising of His body. Chastisement of our peace being upon Him. His stripes by which we were healed laid upon Him. Now I want to say this, folks. They did not believe the report back in the days of Isaiah. They didn't believe the report in the days of Jesus Christ. They crucified Him. They didn't believe it in the times of Paul because they were antagonists of the gospel, the Jewish people. And what do we find today? The same thing. The most difficult area of missions in this world today is not among the Islamic people. It's not among the Hindu people. It's among the Jewish Orthodox people. Because they're considered to be this close to what? Christianity. Christianity. The most difficult group to evangelize today are the Jews. Why is that? Because they rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected the Father in the Old Testament. They rejected His Son when He came. They crucified Him. They said He's not the Messiah. They rejected the presence of the Holy Spirit when it fell at Pentecost. He said, oh, there were 5,000 that were saved. Yes, but what do we find in the early chapters? We find lying to the Holy Spirit in the church. Ananias and Sapphira, taken down by God because they lied. And then we find intense persecution and then the scattering of those people. We find that the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, and throughout the book of Acts, as you continue to study it, we find that the great antagonist of Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, the antagonist of the gospel going to the uncircumcised, was not from government. It was not from the people that were there in the country, in country, as he went to evangelize on these missions that he went to. It was the Jews that stood up and said, he's preaching a lie. Paul is preaching a lie. You have to become a Jew before you can be saved. And so Paul just repeats what God said back in the... Who hath believed our report? Who hath heard and listened with faith our report? How many times growing up did you pretend not to hear your parents when they called? You're outside and you're playing a sandlot baseball game. Mama comes to the door. Bobby! Supper time! Get one more pitch in. One more pitch in. Come on now. Pitch it in here. Bobby! Second time I've called. It's time to come in. Come on now. I'm on first. I want to get around. I got to get around. And you know what happens next? Dad's coming! Pew! Know what I'm talking about? How many times you pretend to turn a deaf ear? I didn't hear you, Mom. I was just so into that game that I was playing. I just didn't hear what you had to say. You lying rascal. Yeah. How many times do we pretend not to hear? This is the condition that we find Israel in today, and it's the condition of Gentiles today. God is calling. His cry goes out to the sinner. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But the siren song of the devil says, don't listen to that Bible garbage. Don't listen to those Bible thumpers. Those people that are talking about you being a sinner. Man, we're 21st century here. We're not sinners anymore. We're at the top of the evolutionary chain. I mean, we're going places. Look what we're able to do. We can put men into space. We can track little pieces of space garbage. Watch out today, by the way. Supposed to be some coming down. It's coming out. It's pieces that were discarded off of the new space station up there. Wow. We're already sending our garbage back to Earth. But anyway, we can do all of these things. Look how we can attack all the different cancers today. We've got all these solutions. Man is going places. America is on the verge becoming European in its style of government. We're going to catch up with the rest of the world. We don't need Jesus. We don't need a Savior because we're not sinners. What do we find today? Who hath believed our report? It's hard to find a sinner these days. Everybody's a believer. But a believer in what? A believer in self. That's what it is. Now, I want you to think here for just a moment. Paul maintains that the Jewish belief was unreasonable on three counts. Three counts he shares with us here. First of all, these Jews could believe, but they would not. Who hath believed our report? Was the cry. Who hath listened? Who hath heard the message of God? They've heard it. God sent His prophets. He sent His witnesses. Jesus Christ had come to this earth, and the testimony had gone out that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. What was their response? They crucified Him. They crucified Him. They didn't believe that He was the Son of God. They could hear, but they would not. Look at verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now let's think about this Greek word for obeyed here for just a moment. The Greek word here, translated obey by the King James translator, is the word hupakuo. Hupakuo. Two words put together. All right? Translated, it simply means to hear. To listen attentively in the sense of giving credence to what is said. A lot of people gave credence in the year 1999 that something bad was going to happen on January the 1st, 2000. Anybody remember Y2K? Y2K! Now, the question was this, simple. Do you believe the pundits that said the world was going to come to an end on January 1st, all the computer systems were going to go down, water systems in towns were going to shut off, grocery stores were not going to be able to receive their food? Or were things going to be the same as they were on the last day of December, January 1999? Now, some people gave credence to what was said. I think it was probably wise to prepare a little bit for that, to see what would happen, because we didn't know. But there are a lot of people that pulled their life savings out and took them to their house because they were afraid that the banks were going to be shut down. There were sections of Utah where people had built bunkers and moved thousands of dollars of food down in there. They had weapons because they thought the world was coming to an end. What happened on January the 1st, 2000? We got up in the morning. We ate our Toastios. We had our Pop-Tarts and orange juice. And everything went on just like it was before. Now, there were a couple of people that had problems. I say a couple, maybe there were more than that. But most people, it went on like it was before. And all the hype was gone out the window. Do you know that that's how people treat the Word of God today? They treat the Bible like Y2K. This is just a bunch of hype. Jesus coming back. These preachers that preach that Jesus coming back and there's going to be this trumpet and Christians, that's a bunch of weirdo stuff. That Jesus actually was a man that was the Son of God and that His death on the cross is somehow efficacious and that through His blood lost sinners can be saved and go to heaven. That's Middle Ages type stuff. That's just unbelievable. That's Ripley's Believe It or Not type stuff. And so people don't give the Word of God credence, therefore they do not what? Listen. This word, hupakuo, it means to hear, to listen attentively in the sense of giving credence to that which is said. Do you give credence this morning to the Word of God? I would imagine that on the credence-o-meter, if we had one, that there are different levels. Some people are at 10%. Some people maybe at 40%. Some people at 50%. It's very obvious that most people do not give 100% credence to the Bible because why? We don't live according to the Scriptures. We don't think according to the Scriptures. It's an amazing thing how little we know in fundamentalism today, how little we know in our churches about the Bible. I'm just talking about the facts of the Bible. We don't know because we're not reading. We spend more time reading the mullet wrapper, the Pensacola News Journal, than we do the Bible. I don't understand why that's the case, but it's true. It's true. We just don't have an understanding of the principles and purposes of God and His Word. And so we're ignorant for the most part. And so if you were to give credence, some people are at 10, 20, maybe 50. I don't know. Maybe there's some over 75. Maybe there's some dear saint that loves God with all their heart and wants to serve God with every fiber of their being. But the problem is we don't give. It's clear when you look at the behavior of children today that people don't believe the Bible when it comes to their children. I witnessed an exasperated mother this past week. Exasperated. I mean, to her wit's end. Out here at the soccer field, she had chased this child the whole soccer game. This child took off running. They'd go chase it, bring it back. This child would take off running again. And she finally went over there and took the child and thrust it into the chest of her husband, said, "I'm done with it. I'm going home." He said, okay. Uh-huh. "I'm done. I'm going home. You bring the kids." Now, does that mother have to be exasperated? Absolutely not. The Bible gives clear indication of how to take care of that. But you know what? Today, the child has been elevated. They're not equals with adults anymore. We talk about egalitarianism. They're not equals. They're above that now. There are people right now on trial in this United States. There's a pastor on trial right now in Ohio. His son was spanked. He went to school. This teacher in the public school overheard the son said, "I got spanked last night by my father." She called Child Protective Services. They swooped in. He has 8 children, the oldest of which is 24. They swooped in. They took the children away. He's going to be standing trial. Now, the child went and said, "My dad didn't hurt me." The doctors all said, "He doesn't have any wounds. There's no wounds. This is just a farce." But they're pursuing it. They're pursuing it, and he could get 3 years in jail if he's convicted of spanking his son. On the courthouse steps this past week was the mother of the child and the daughter with signs with the scripture verses related to that. We just simply believe the Bible. We simply believe the Bible. How about you? Do you believe the Bible? Are you willing to go to jail? He's in jail right now. Hey, well, I think he got out on bond this past week, if my recollection is right. He may have gotten out on bond. But he's going to stand trial because he practiced the Bible. He was not abusive. The doctors, everyone at the emergency room where the Child Protective Services took them for the inspection, said there were no marks on the child. And yet they're pursuing this. This is where we're headed today. The Bible is going to be more and more on the fringe. It always has been. But in the United States of America, the Bible is going to be on the fringe. Do you believe the Bible enough to go to jail? Do you believe enough of the Bible to go to jail for it? Israel wasn't willing to do that. Israel was not willing to believe. Israel was not willing to hear. She refused to hear. Luke chapter 8 and verse 18 says, "Take heed how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Now, what does that say? It simply means this. If you content yourself with hearing truth without appropriating it, by and by you will obtain nothing and at last even lose everything. You want to know how important it is to hear God's Word? You hear truth and you don't appropriate it. You don't practice it. You don't put it into your home. You don't put it into your personal life. It doesn't enter into your business activities. The Bible is left outside the door, and you practice one way at the business office and one way at church. Or one way among your family people that you love, but you don't live the Bible in front of them, and when you get away from them, you live a different way. That's not hearing the Word of God. Take heed how you hear. There's two ways to hear. One way is the hearing that does not appropriate truth, and the other way of hearing is hearing that does appropriate the truth. There's only two kinds of hearing. Hearing that appropriates, hearing that does not appropriate. If you don't appropriate the truth of God when you hear it, you will lose what truth you have, and you will lose out on everything. So important, this matter of hearing. Third thing Paul says is they could believe, number one, but they didn't. They could hear, but they wouldn't. And then thirdly, they had the word of Christ, but they rejected it. Notice verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, we have God in the King James Bible, but it's the word Christos. Christos, what does that sound like? Christ. Literally, it's the word of Christ. What was the issue that the Jews had with what Paul was preaching? Was that his preaching was centered on Christ. And so the Holy Spirit, through Paul, brings this up at this very point. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And the Jews said, no way. Hearing comes by Abraham. Hearing doesn't come from Christ. He wasn't the Messiah. Hearing comes from Abraham. We're the people of Abraham. This has been their argument. It's been their argument. Folks, we have a responsibility to evangelize the Jews. They are not alternate forms of Christianity because they reject the Savior. They reject Jesus Christ. We ought to pray for the salvation of the Jew. We hear Judeo-Christian ethics. And immediately most people say, well, there's no difference, but there's a big difference. The difference is Christ. The difference is Christ. Now let's go on. They rejected the word of Christ in three ways. Verse 18. Number one, they rejected the testimony of nature. Notice, please. But I say, conjunction of contrast, adversative contrast. Don't give in to their excuse. Have they not heard the objectors say? Oh, yes, they have. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Quite interesting, that thought. The testimony of nature. God says, I have written my law in the hearts of men. I've written it in their conscience. That's why you have a conscience. God gave it to you as a witness of His law. He says, not only that, but nature bears forth. You can't look at nature. You can't look up at the stars in the sky and not know that there's an omnipotent God. We know. To say that there was no God and that everything happened by evolution is to ignore nature and what nature cries, that there is a holy and righteous God and that He's all-powerful and that He loves. How does nature show that God loves? Mr. O'Pager mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. This week he took his wife out for dinner, and as they were going into the restroom, there was a little bird that came up and was hovering there at the water spigot that was on the side of the restaurant, getting a drop of water and then fluttering off to go back to its nest. God was taking care of that little bird. He said He would. He knows when the sparrow falls. He knows. He takes care of. He provides on a daily basis. We have deer on our campus now. We've seen it a couple of times. I got a phone call, it was a week or two ago. Hey, we've got deer out on the playground. And I said, that's not right. It's not their time to be on the playground. It's supposed to be the, The fifth grader is supposed to be out there. What are the deer doing on the playground? No. Beautiful deer. We've had some of our learning center parents say, I see it in the morning sometimes when we come in early. We see the deer that's out there. Yeah. Who's feeding the deer? God is. He's taking care of them. He's taking care of all of those things. Nature bears witness to a loving God that provides and takes care of all of His creation. The second thing that they rejected in regard to the Word of Christ was not only the testimony of nature, but the testimony of law. Notice, please, verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? There's some say, well, not all Israel knows. Now, there's a lot of people that don't know this. Well, what did God say? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. And then Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Who's he talking about there? What he's saying is, in two different writings of Moses and Isaiah, I have told you that I am going to save the Gentiles. I'm going to save them. Isn't it interesting, the testimony of Simeon when he saw Jesus Christ, the baby, and held him in his hands? He says, this will be a light to lighten the Israelites? No. A light to lighten the Gentiles. God had always promised. And it would either be through Israel's agency or it would be through some other agency, which now is the church and the Holy Spirit of God. Now, folks, we're going to close our sermon at this point. We'll pick up next time. It's your responsibility to hear this morning. It's your responsibility to hear. Of all the teaching that we have learned in the last several chapters about the sovereignty of God, do you realize that it's your responsibility to hear God's Word? He's not going to make you hear. He's not going to make you hear. If you choose to ignore, you choose to turn away as Israel did, then He'll let you go on your way and face your own consequences. There are some that live constantly with the consequences of their choices of rejecting the hearing of the Word of God. How foolish. How foolish to live that way. To just keep on going on stubbornly going their own way. We all have that in our hearts to a certain degree, do we not? We just, I just don't agree with what the preacher said, the Bible said. I just don't agree with all this stuff. It's my responsibility to hear. God wants me to hear. He'll make me hear. No, He won't. I close with this first phrase here. But they have not all obeyed. Better translated, they have not all heard and submitted to the gospel. Not everybody's going to believe. That's why there's a hell. Satan didn't believe, did he? He fell from heaven's glory because he said, I don't believe God. Adam fell in the garden because he didn't believe God. God said, thou shalt not eat. He ate. He didn't believe God. And the problem with you and I is that we have little regard. All of us here, including myself, we have little regard for the preciousness and the power of the Word of God. To fully hear, to listen, and to put credence in the words, understanding that God's Word will be fulfilled. His Word will be fulfilled. You can ignore it, but you'll face the consequence of ignoring God's Word. It's your and my responsibility to hear. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we pray that You bless Your Word this morning. Lord, You've clearly shown us in Your Word that it's our responsibility to hear. You won't do the hearing for us. You have provided the Word. You have provided Your testimonies, faithful preachers, the testimony of the Holy Spirit that brings about conviction of sin. But ultimately, it comes to the place where we're going to either listen and submit, or we're just going to hear and just let it go through one side and out the other and continue on our own pathway to face the consequences of our choices. Lord, I pray that You would do a work in our hearts this morning. Lord, draw us unto Yourself. And Father, may we clear out the earwax of culture Clean out the earwax of worldliness. Clear out all the sounds and vibrations of this world that dominate. And Lord, may we simply let the Holy Spirit of God take your word and drive it into our hearts so that we might indeed hear and act upon your precious word. Draw sinners unto yourself, Lord, and encourage and edify your saints today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.